Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at the cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we come together and celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. And of course, in doing that, we also begin a new liturgical year as we begin a new liturgical season. And Advent every year calls us to an experience of waiting on the Lord. We are called to be a people of expectation and hope as we wait for Christ's coming at the end of time. And I think there's a number of ways we can think about that experience of waiting. We experience that at times as our gospel talks about as watchfulness of being attentive to where Christ is coming in our experience. We can experience that as a certain discipline of being faithful to the ways that God has called us to live out our Christian call. And if we're faithful to that, then when Christ comes, he will find us faithfully doing the things that we're called to do. We can see that as an experience of really joy and expectation of an excitement of the breaking of Christ's presence in the world. But I think our first reading this year kind of helps to frame how we understand waiting. And our first reading really is a lament. Our first reading expresses a longing. The prophet speaks out that the people are scattered, that they're broken, that they've wandered far away from the law, that they experience an evilness and a sin, that their hearts have become hard towards one another and towards the call of faith. And the prophet speaks of a longing, a desire for God to break into the world. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. And the idea there is this idea that the people sit there in their hardness of heart, in their wandering and being scattered, in their woundedness and sin, and they can't overcome that by themselves. The prophet recognizes that the people of Israel need their God, need their Redeemer. They need God to bring them back, to soften their hearts, to heal their sin and their woundedness, to touch the areas that they have sacrificed in their lives and wandered far from the experience of God's call in the day-to-day. And in that experience of sin and recognition and need for God, the prophet refers twice to God as, "You are our Father. You are our Redeemer. We are clay. And you're the potter. All of us are the work of your hands." And with that is a longing for Christ to come, a longing for Christ to break in to those areas that are estranged and wounded. In our gospel reading, we hear a story in Mark that we also hear in the other gospels when we come to Advent every year, a parable of a householder who goes on a journey and leaves his servants behind and commands simply that they be faithful in doing their duty as servants. But the thing that is different about Mark's gospel is that Mark suggests that the master, even though we don't know the day nor the hour, that nevertheless, the master will come back at night. He will come back at night when people normally are sleeping. He will come at a time that's unexpected. And he lists the four watches of the night. And the night in Scripture is not a good thing. It's not a pleasant thing. The night is the abode of evil. The night is a place of fear. The night is a place of suffering. It's on the night that he was betrayed that Jesus wept and prayed in the garden. It's at night in which things are done under the cover of darkness. It's at night that there's an experience of sin. It was at night that Jesus himself was betrayed. We are told that when Judas gets up from the table and walks out, the evangelist says, "And it was night." And I think sitting with that image of night and the notion of Christ coming at that moment kind of led me to think a little bit about that experience of Christ coming into that experience of fear, into our experience of suffering, into our experience of sin. That Christ's coming is something that comes into that place of estrangement and into that place of brokenness. God doesn't just come in the areas in our lives in which we already know hope or expectation. Christ doesn't just come into the experiences of our lives where we know joy or fulfillment or security. Christ comes at night. He comes to our places that are dark. He comes into our experience of fear. He touches our experience of sin. And the lament and the longing that is expressed in our first reading, Christ himself enters into that and is the answer to that prayer of coming in. My brothers and sisters, this Advent, as we come together, where are the areas of darkness in our life where we need Christ to come? Where are the areas of darkness and sin in our heart where we struggle to believe that we can be healed? That we know that we can't do it on our own? That we know that we can't carry the burden on our own? Where is it that we need our Father and our Savior Jesus? Advent, I think, is a season in which we're called as a people to hope in a faith that Christ does indeed come into those places. That Christ will indeed heal us in the areas of darkness, of fear, of doubt, of struggle, of sin, and of evil. And he touches us there to bring salvation, to be the Redeemer, to embrace us as Father, and to lead us back to our Father in heaven. More than anything else, this season, I believe, is a season of hope. That Christ will have his way even with those areas of our heart. That Christ will have his way even in the deepest, darkest area of sin in my life. He can change us, transform us, and bring us healing. And I believe that in this season, if we strive to place our faith, our trust, and hope that Christ will come to us there, then as we remember Christ's first coming at Christmas, we will be a people of joy for what it is that God has done and what it is that God promises to do. Amen.